Good morning. Welcome to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here from Stutzman's to answer your lawn and garden questions this morning. If you have a question, 869-1330 is the number to call, 869-1330. You can also send your question to the KNSS Facebook page. Hey, good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Here we are, kicking off fall at Stutzman's. You got your annual fall festival happening today. Tell us about that event.
You know, as we get to the end of September, we are definitely into fall now. The mornings are cool, the days are shorter, and the fall festival is just really a good way for Stutzman's to welcome the fall season to everyone. You know, we have the mums are coming into color and all of the fall decor, the pumpkins and the straw and straw bales and all of that stuff. Everything is just kind of at its peak and ready for fall decorating. We do have some different specials going on or some different things going on at all the locations. Our pansies, which, you know, we've talked about before and we can talk about again, but what a great fall, early winter, and then again in the spring flower they are. We're doing full flats of the pansies, mix and match, $20 a flat, and that's 18 of the 4-inch pots in that flat, so you can find that at any location. And then encourage people to bring the kids out, whether you're picking out pumpkins or mums or whatever you're doing, and they can pick out a free mini pumpkin or gourd for all the kids. So some fun things to do and just really a great way to welcome in this fall season.
Yeah, and speaking of mums, you guys have a great deal on mums going on today as well, right?
We do, and a lot of them just coming into color and just cracking color at that perfect stage. You know, if you're just looking for some small table or planting decorations, you know, we have that smaller 5.5-inch pot, and I think those are $4.99, or we have a 4 for $16, a multiple purchase on them. And our 9-inch mum is kind of our standard that we grow, and a great selection of those, and do have them $11.99 or what are they, 3 for $33, I think, save a few dollars that way as well. So some good deals on those. Still have a few asters remaining, and those are grown and treated about just like a mum at your house and here in our growing range, but more of that true purple color and some really bright pinks in those asters. So a lot of great plants just coming into time right now.
It's the Fall Festival going on today at Stutzman's with great deals on mums and pansies. You'll find corn shocks, straw bales, and pumpkins, too. You know, I saw an article on your website or actually on your Facebook page about keeping our pumpkins beautiful, Jason. What are some ways we can do that?
You know, a lot of people do pick them up now, and with a little bit of care, they can be around for an extended time. Now, you know, if we're talking jack-o'-lanterns and we're going to carve them, we probably don't want to carve them yet. Once we, you know, break that skin and cut the pieces out, they're not going to last quite as long. But, you know, a couple of things we can do. One, wherever you have them setting, you know, good air circulation and ideal conditions while we're warm is going to be not in the full sun. So, you know, keep that in mind. But a few other things you can do. One of the actual good uses I've found for like those little Clorox wipes, if you take one of those and wipe down your pumpkins or gourds, you know, before bringing them in, that removes any of those little fungal bodies on the outside that might start a dark spot and kind of start to make them go bad. So you can get them nice and cleaned up that way before you start as well. The other nice thing with a lot of these, when they're first picked, they're ripe and they're turning color, but the rind is pretty soft. And as we stay, you know, in a well-ventilated area sitting out, that rind just gets harder and harder. And I've had some of those, I like some of those gray pumpkins, but I've had those into November before I cut them up and we made soup out of them and used them. They can last a long time. And some of those ones that are more just ornamental, like the gourds and things, you know, they can last for months. And some of them, like the gooseneck and the birdhouse type, once they begin to dry, you can get the thin skin off the outside and they'll make that hard gourd that, you know, can keep and be a birdhouse or a dipper, or you can make crafts and things. And I mean, they'll last indefinitely once they're dry.
Several ways there to keep those pumpkins beautiful. Of course, pumpkins, a huge part of the fall season. This is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A couple of ways you can ask Jason a question this morning about your lawn and garden. You can call us at 869-1330. You can also send your question to the KNSS Facebook page. Danielle has done that, and she says, should I avoid cutting off yellow leaves on tomato plants?
No, really. And I know we're getting towards the end of all of that, and we'll see more, especially as they kind of start to end the season. I'm still getting a few tomatoes, but there's certainly no harm in removing those once they become yellow. You know, you either want to be able to kind of bend them the wrong way and they'll snap off the stem, or use something to clip them. We don't want to just tear it and pull a long string off the stem trying to remove them. But once they've turned yellow like that, they're never going to green up again. And so, you know, they can be removed if it's late in the season or there's just, you know, a few. It's not necessarily a huge benefit, but early on, especially when you see some as we're going through the season, those might have a pest attacking them, or they could have been affected by a disease, and some of those things can spread to the rest of the plant. So, you know, removing those can kind of minimize some of those problems. So I think, you know, most cases it's a pretty good idea.
All right, Danielle, thank you so much for your question this morning. Jason, we just had a question off air. Lady's asking you, she's trying to get rid of budworms. She's tried neem. That didn't work, so she wants to know, are there other ways to get rid of those budworms?
You know, budworms are a very nuisance pest on a couple of different plants in particular. They really like petunias and geraniums, but occasionally you'll see them on another plant, and they're kind of insidious. You don't always notice them because they don't feed on the plant. They strictly eat the bud and the flower, and all of a sudden your plant's blooming less and less and getting greener and greener. And, you know, that's one of the things to look for, because they're a pretty small caterpillar. You know, the neem could be moderately effective. It would need, depending on what form you're using, but like the neem oil would pretty much need to contact them. And so a lot of times we don't get good coverage, or, you know, they are still hatching. And so sometimes a more traditional insecticide might work a little bit better. We have really pretty good luck at the garden centers with the 8. It's by Bonide, and it's a good insect spray that can be used on almost any plant. So, you know, even if you only have this one petunia that's infected or whatever, it's still a good spray. We could spray vegetables. We could give our houseplants a treatment before we took them in. There's a lot of different ones, and budworms usually have 2 to 3 rounds of them throughout the season, generations. So I like to, when I'm spraying, use the same spray a couple of times and then maybe switch to another one. You know, if you're looking more natural, like the neem is, the Captain Jack's or the spinosad is a really effective organic product for caterpillars as well. So there's several different things you can use, but neem for a caterpillar or some of those types of things, I don't know if it would be quite as effective as using like the 8 or the Captain Jack spinosad. So perhaps you'll try one of those others and have a little better result.
Getting rid of budworms right there. We've talked about pests. How about the rodents? How can we prevent squirrels and other rodents like them, Jason, from digging up our bulbs?
You know, some of those are pretty difficult, especially if it's the digging we're talking about. And sometimes a physical barrier is helpful. I've known people that have you know, huge problems with squirrels and gophers wanting to get their fall bulbs and things. And that's where sometimes I like planting in a big grouping, you know, dig one hole and put lots of different bulbs in it. But if we use something like a chicken wire or something, just loosely lining the hole and a little bit of a layer over the top, they're not able to chew and dig through that. A lot of times that can help provide a barrier. Now, if they're chewing on, you know, and eating plants themselves, there's several different things that can help with that. There's, you know, the more traditional repellents, you know, liquid fence and repels, all things like that, that kind of have a scent deterrent for them. But one other thing with rodents, squirrels, chipmunks, things like that, they actually can taste spicy, where like birds and things cannot. And so there are some hot pepper waxes and things like that that can be applied to the plant itself that really will help deter their eating. I used to live up in Iowa, and we had those little striped chipmunks. We don't see them too often in Kansas, but they were notorious for going and taking my zucchini when they were a couple of inches long. And that's where I got turned on to that hot pepper wax, and you sprayed them when they were small. Well, they were spicy and they didn't like them, but by the time they grew out and were of a harvesting size, there wasn't enough, you know, left on it to be a problem for me eating it. But that was a pretty effective one for the plants. But a lot of times, like for the bulbs, we almost have to come up with a physical a barrier like that.
All right. Some ways to keep rodents from eating your bulbs here in the fall. You're listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show this morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Jason French, of course, here from Stutzman's to answer your lawn and garden questions. 869-1330 is the number to call. You can also send your question to the KNSS Facebook page. Nicole did that, and her question is, which soil is best for top dressing?
You know, depending a little bit on where we are, you know, for top dressing, if we're talking about in lawns or something like that, you're going to want something a little bit finer, and that's where maybe a topsoil, you know, you can get it bagged. It's going to be like a finer dirt mix that would settle through and kind of fill in low spots without smothering things. You know, if it's a little more, we're wanting to enrich the soils and things, that's where maybe a composted material would be a little bit better. You just kind of have to watch if you're applying it over plants that, you know, we don't apply so much it smothers things. But, you know, if we're trying to do a low spot or something, we're going to want something that has that denser surface like the topsoil would. And so, you know, putting a layer of that down, if it's a deep area, you may want to put, you know, half of it in, let it sit for a little bit, let the grass kind of grow around it and do its thing, and then maybe go through a second time and fill it. And that way we're not putting, you know, 2 inches at once and smothering our grass that's right there. It is time that if we needed to do that, you know, we could put some fresh seed out on those areas as we, you know, top dress and level with that. Great time to be doing seeding yet this year.
All right, Nicole, thank you so much for your question this morning. Let's talk perennials here. Jason, why should we divide perennials here in the fall?
You know, there are some that, this is the time to be working on some of that. We don't always want to wait clear till dormancy, but a lot of them, we're going to be out there kind of cleaning up our beds, doing things with them. And, you know, if we notice they're getting pretty full or pretty tight, I think of, you know, daylilies is one that's pretty commonly done. Iris, kind of September, October, we also do them. But as some of those grow and mature, they get really thick, and as they get thick, they can almost kind of crowd themselves to where they don't bloom like they used to. So, you know, taking clump of iris or a clump of daylilies and, you know, dig up the chunk and I wouldn't necessarily split it down to single fans unless you're going to plant multiple ones back in there, but just breaking that clump up into a few chunks so that you have a few shoots on each one, you're going to have a plant that will be able to bloom again in a reasonable amount of time. But that is really the best way to revitalize a lot of those. I get a lot of people that'll come in the summer and be like, you know, my iris patch, it's so thick and green and nice, but it doesn't bloom like it used to. Well, they're crowding themselves out and they need to be divided up. And so fall is a great time on a lot of those things for doing that. So, and those are going to be plants that generally have multiple stems this time of year. You know, some of our other plants we divide in the spring right as they're coming up from ground level. But a lot of these that have those big tops like that don't necessarily just die to the ground, this fall is a great time to get those going. The soil's nice and warm. Roots want to take off. They kind of get established before winter time. And then after we've had a frost or a freeze, we'll apply our tree and shrub fertilizer to the perennials and bushes and things, and those roots, unless our ground is frozen, they're still taking things up. And so through the winter time, they're taking up that fertilizer you put on there, and then they're ready to go right from the beginning in spring. And so you kind of get a jump start on some of those by doing your divisions in the fall.
869-1330 is the number to call with your question this morning. Dennis has called. Hi there, Dennis. What's your question for Jason?
Hey, good morning. My question is on my maple tree. It's starting to show, the leaves are changing colors already, and I've had this problem for a couple of years. The tree was planted about 3 years ago. The very top of it loses its leaves fairly early, and I don't know if that's a sign of not enough water or too much water. What would be your advice on that?
And is this in a lawn? Is it growing in a lawn?
Yes, in a lawn.
And is this lawn irrigated? Do you have sprinkler systems and things?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Couple of things that sometimes we run into. One, as we get later in the season from summer on, those trees this time of year start using a little bit less water, and sometimes with our grass, it's kind of when it's waking up and we're feeding it and, you know, we're watering and doing a little bit more. So sometimes they can be a little wet and not quite go into dormancy quite as well as they should, you know, and that leads to that color. That's what brings on that color, nice color change and everything, is that tree a little slower going dormant. The other thing that I would recommend, and I saw a lot of it this season in maples, especially in irrigated lawns, few other kinds of trees as well, but we've had so little actual rainfall that we've used more irrigated water than rainfall, and that irrigated water is very alkaline. You know, we're on a huge limestone deposit, and those trees like soil that's a little bit more acidic, and we're not getting the rains to kind of flush some of that basic material out of that soil. And so doing a sulfur treatment, and you can get a pelletized sulfur and spread it almost like a lawn fertilizer. That's another treatment, though, that would really benefit some of those trees. You'd get a lot greener leaf foliage to it and just a lot better health. They're able to take up some of the nutrients and things a little bit better if the soil is just slightly acidic. So those would be a few recommendations. What you're seeing is not uncommon. I mean, I do see that quite a bit, especially with the top dropping its leaves first and you know, not getting the good color that you think we should be getting.
Could I ask you one more thing?
Absolutely.
Okay, I bought a root watering piece of equipment, and I wonder if I should be putting some kind of root, you know, some fertilizing the roots or anything with a fertilizer.
Now, if you can, if it's one of those ones where you can put the fertilizer in it, those are really great, right. But I would wait until after we've had a frost or so. We don't want to put a bunch of fertilizer right to the root system and then have it be warm and, you know, some of those buds may want to leaf out as opposed to going dormant. But once we've had a frost or so and we've gotten dormant, that's a great way to get some of that fertilizer below your grass level. And I mean, doing it on the surface, it does feed the tree, but your grass will eat some of it too, where that you can get it a little bit lower. And probably 6 inches or so is going to be a good level to hit a lot of the feeder roots and be below a lot of your turf grass.
Oh, okay. And what the fertilizer, you know, it comes in different formulas, like what would you recommend there?
You know, a lot of that's going to just depend somewhat on how your feeder works. But generally, most of your woody tree shrub, those types of fertilizers, you know, your numbers are usually going to be below 20s. We don't want anything real hot and strong put down into that root area. And then ideally, I would find one that does have some iron and some manganese and magnesium, some of those other minerals with it as well that will help with that color and that sturdiness of that leaf and promote better leaf structure and health that'll last and turn better for you.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dennis, thank you so much for your call this morning. If you have a question like Dennis did, you can call us. 869-1330 is the number, 869-1330. You can also send your question this morning to the KNSS Facebook page. Right now, Ben is going to tell us about today's Fall Festival.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Ben Miller. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. More with Jason coming up. Join Stutzman's this week for our Fall Festival as we celebrate the transition to fall. Use your imagination and our vast selection of miniature and traditional straw bales, miniature funky and traditional pumpkins plus corn shocks to create your own fall look. Choose from gorgeous asters and vibrant mums starting at $4.99. And all this week, mix and match 18 pots of full flats of pansies for only $20, plus all kids will receive a miniature pumpkin. Your passion for gardening and fall gardening is our passion too, so come see us, especially this week. It's fall fun at Stutzman's Greenhouse Fall Festival at all our garden centers located throughout central and western Kansas. You can find out more at Stutzman's.com or on Facebook. Again, this is Ben Miller. Have a wonderful day and enjoy your time in the garden, on the porch, or patio as you transition to fall decorations. Now back to Jason and the Home and Garden Show, brought to you by Stutzman's Greenhouse and Garden Centers. Happy fall decorating.
And this is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French here as well to answer your lawn and garden questions at 869-1330. Let's talk a little bit about vegetables, Jason. Which ones can we plant here in the fall for a spring harvest?
You know, there are one thing I can think of for sure that we would want to do and turns out better with a fall planting than a spring planting is going to be fall garlic. And garlic, you know, it comes in that head and you would separate the head apart into the cloves. And then each individual clove you'll push down in, you know, and I'd space them 4 to 6 inches apart so you have room for the head to grow. But what happens is that'll root out and it'll sprout. You may see it looks like a little green onion even up through the wintertime, and that's okay. But that gives them the ability to kind of get rooted and started now. And then when in spring hits, they're able to fully develop and you end up with a lot bigger and nicer heads planting those in the fall. And you can do, there's two kinds of garlic, the soft neck and the hard neck. And those can be planted this time of year. Now, we don't carry them at all of the outdoor locations, but, you know, at our Pleasant View location, we do have both kinds of those garlic in with all of the other fall bulbs that we should be getting ready to start planting as well. So that's a great one that you can start ahead of time and get a little jump on next season with.
How much should we be watering this week, Jason?
You know, we're going to be a little bit warm again this week and looks to be dry. So, you know, I would still try to give the lawn a good watering. If I can get an inch to it on my watering, that should be good, you know, for a week. We are cooler and shorter days. But do keep an eye on your containers and things drying out. You know, it's slowing down from summertime, but sometimes it's easy to get complacent and miss. And if you do still have some of those flowering plants, annual things, one more fertilizing would definitely keep some really good fall color coming on them. So, you know, don't neglect those things. And it is nice we don't have to spend quite as much time watering, but it's not time to completely put that hose away yet.
Right. Let's remind folks one more time here before we go about your fall festival today.
Yeah, all of our locations stop out, help us welcome the fall season in with all of the great colors and decor and plants for fall. We have the 4-inch pansy flats, mix and match colors for $20 a flat, and bring the kids out and have them get a free mini pumpkin or gourd of their choice. So it'd be a fun time to stop out and enjoy some of this great fall weather.
That's right. A lot of fall fun today at Stutzman's. A lot of good information this morning, Jason. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening this morning to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We hope you join us again next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful weekend.